I want to say something more about words. I said to you yesterday, words are limited. There's something more I have to add. There are some words that correspond to nothing. Words that have a very powerful influence on us. You know, when I use the word tree, it corresponds to something. When I say man or woman or child, that corresponds to something. But there are some words that correspond to nothing. Would you believe it? For instance, talking of a situation back home, I'm an Indian. Now we've got another country called Pakistan. Now let's suppose I am a prisoner of war in Pakistan. And they say to me, well, today we're going to take you to the frontier and you're going to take a look at your country. And so they bring me to the frontier. And I look across the border and I think, oh, my country, my beautiful country. I see villages and trees and hills. Like that thing of the poet, breathes there a man with soul so dead who never to himself has said, ma, you got it, yes. This is my own, my native land. And after a while, one of the guards says, excuse me, we made a mistake, sir. We have to move on another 10 miles. You know, it's fun. What was I reacting to? Indian trees, Indian villages, Indian mountains. But you know something? Trees are not Indian. Trees are trees. There are no Indian trees. In a geographical map, there are no frontiers, no boundaries. Those were put there by the human mind. Generally by stupid, avaricious politicians. That country of mine, once upon a time, was one. It's four now. And if we don't look out, within a short time, it might be six. We'll have six flags. We'll have six armies. You never catch me saluting a flag. Me, never. Any flag, never saluted. I abhor all national flags. I do. I mean, you can go ahead. What are we saluting? I salute humanity. Not a flag with an army around it. Now, of course, I live in a peculiar situation where I see flags coming up. These flags were in the heads of people. They're fighting for a convention. They're fighting for a frontier, which the human mind put there, but doesn't exist in reality. Now, I got news for you. There are thousands of words in our vocabulary that do not correspond to reality at all. But boy, they trigger emotions. They trigger off emotions within us. And we begin to see things which are not there. We actually see Indian mountains, but they don't exist. And we actually see Indian people, what do you know, they don't exist. They really don't. Oh, well. You know, you have your American conditioning. I have my American conditioning. That exists. Not a very happy thing. You know, in our countries nowadays, in the third world countries, we talk a great deal about inculturation. Culture. This thing called culture. Not very happy with it. Me, not very happy with it. Because part of our liberation is liberation from our culture. You mean you'd like to do something because you were conditioned to do it? You'd like to feel something because you were conditioned to feel it? Isn't that being mechanical? You got a stamp on you and you react according to that stamp? Imagine an American baby that is adopted by a Russian couple, taken over to Russia. Has no notion that it was born American. Because there is no such thing as American. So he's brought up talking Russian. He lives and dies for Mother Russia. He hates the Americans. He's all stamped with his own culture. He's steeped in his own literature. He's influenced and he looks at the world through the eyes of his culture. You want to wear your cultures the way you wear clothes, that's fine. You know, it's nice. The woman, Indian woman will wear a sari and the American woman will wear something else, and the Chinese woman will wear something else, and the Japanese woman will wear her kimono. That's nice. But nobody's identifying herself with the clothes. So you want to wear culture like that? That's nice. But then you become proud of your culture. They teach you to be proud of it. They teach you to be proud of your country. There are emotions, words that are emotionally charged. Nobody sits down and analyzes that. Remember how I told you, if you are affected or influenced by an experience you had with your father, let me put it as forcefully as possible. There's this Jesuit friend of mine who says, anytime I see a poor person, a beggar, I cannot give this person an alms. I cannot not give this person an alms. I got that from my mother, he says. My mother, ever since I was a kid, you know, he lived somewhere in the countryside in India, and any poor person who'd come there, well, his mother would offer that person a meal, etc. He said, I picked it up from her. I said to him, Joe, what you have is not a virtue. What you have is a compulsion. A good one from the point of view of the beggar, but a compulsion nonetheless. You cannot not do this. I remember a Jesuit who said to us once at a province meet, a kind of an intimate gathering of the men of our Jesuit province there in Bombay. Very nice to hear that. He said, I am 80 years old. I've been a Jesuit for 65 years. I have never once in all my life missed my hour of morning meditation. Never once. Nice. Could be very admirable, or it could be a compulsion too. No great merit in that, if it's mechanical. The beauty of an action comes not from its having become a habit, but from sensitivity, from consciousness, from clarity of perception and accuracy of response. I may say yes to this beggar, I may say no to another. I'm not compelled by any conditioning, programming of my past experiences or my culture. Nobody has stamped anything on me, or if they have, I'm no longer reacting from that. It's like you have a bad experience with an American, or you were bitten by a dog, or you had a bad experience with a certain kind of food. Now, for the rest of your life, you're influenced by that experience. Too bad. You need to be liberated from that. Don't carry over experiences from the past. Hey, I see many of you nodding in assent. How about carrying over good experiences from the past? Huh? Don't carry those either. You know what it means? To experience something fully, then drop it, and move on to the next moment, uninfluenced by the previous one? My, you're traveling with such little baggage, you could pass through the eye of a needle. Now you will know what eternal life is, because eternal life is now, in the timeless now. Only thus will you enter eternal life. But how many things we carry with us. And we never set about the task of freeing ourselves, of dropping the baggage, of being ourselves. And I'm so sorry to say that everywhere I go, I find Muslims who are using their religion and their worship and their Quran to distract themselves from this task. Instead of serving as a help, serves as a distraction. And the same applies to Hindus and you know who else. Now, you're very clever. You're catching on quickly today. Now, words, they have such an influence on us. You know, you're talking to somebody, listen to this. You're talking to somebody, he seems a nice kind of guy, and somebody whispers into your ear, Cardinal Archbishop. Whoop. It has an influence on your mind and on your nerves. You're suddenly influenced by that, the word. See how it triggered off reactions within you? Can you imagine a human being who is no longer influenced by words, who is only affected by reality? You could give him any number of words, he'll still give you a fair deal. You could say Cardinal Archbishop, but he'll still give you a fair deal. He'll see you as you are. He's uninfluenced by the label. You could say Indian, American, Russian, Chinese, anything. He is uninfluenced by labels. So there it is. The importance of understanding words and concepts. If we are to attain awareness, because I said to you, awareness heals, awareness transforms, awareness puts us in touch with reality. But that goes with understanding, understanding how our mind functions and how we are being deceived by words and concepts.